Wichita gets hammered by two layoff announcements. Eclipse Aviation pulls out of AOPA Expo. And GE will buy 25 of China's new regional jets. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 5th, 2008. The recession landed with a thud in Wichita, Kansas yesterday. Hawker Beechcraft CEO Jim Schuster cited serious challenges due to an unprecedented worldwide economic decline and said the company will cut 5% of its workforce, or about 500 jobs. He called the reductions painful but absolutely necessary. Company spokesman Andrew Broom told the Wichita Eagle the company would act quickly but gave no specific date. An unnamed source cited by the Eagle said the layoffs would be a mix of hourly and salaried workers and could start as soon as this week. Roughly 4 of 5 Hawker Beach employees are based in the Wichita area. Before the locals could even catch their breath, Cessna followed up with an announcement that it will have to trim its workforce in 2009 as it cuts back on deliveries. In a letter to workers, Cessna CEO Jack Pelton warned, quote, "The plan will include an increase in the number of Mustang deliveries and a decrease in some of the other Citation models. We are also planning on fewer piston aircraft deliveries in 2009. Regretfully, these changes will result in a need to reduce our current workforce level. The timing and scope of the reductions will be communicated within the next few days," unquote. Aero News has confirmed that Eclipse Aviation has pulled out of its booth and static display at this week's AOPA Expo in San Jose. The struggling Albuquerque-based Very Light Jet Pioneer furloughed hundreds of workers in August, shortly after Chairman and Acting CEO Roel Pieper bragged of new financing at AirVenture. Last week, aerospace analysis company Forecast International predicted Eclipse would be gone by the end of 2009's first quarter, echoing a similar prediction by prominent Teal Group analyst Richard Abulafia. The Very Light Jet pack is thinning quickly as credit markets remain tight. Last week, AAI Acquisition, which just a month ago boasted of having very secure Russian financing, all but closed down its development of the aircraft formerly known as the Atom A700 and has not yet announced a revised development and certification schedule. Germany's Grobe Aerospace, which even had the benefit of outside contract work to keep it afloat, moved from preliminary to full insolvency last week. Former Eclipse CEO Vern Rayburn, who was dumped very publicly at AirVenture, had been criticized for raising about $1 billion to that point. One has to wonder if appreciation for that particular skill might have grown in the days since. GE Commercial Aviation Services, a major aircraft leasing company, has announced an order for up to 25 Chinese-made ARJ-21 airliners from Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China Limited. Bloomberg reports the deal is worth $750 million U.S., and the value to the Chinese manufacturer's worldwide credibility is hard to calculate. GE spokesman Dan Whitney offered, quote, "This is huge for GE Capital. It demonstrates our ability and commitment to continue to invest in emerging markets where we see solid growth potential," unquote. The ARJ-21 looks a lot like a Douglas DC-9 and is China's first serious attempt to market a regional airliner to the global market. The very first 70-seat ARJ-21 Flying Phoenix was rolled out last December, but it has yet to make its first flight. There's no word yet on who will be the end users of the aircraft GE is buying, but industry observers say continued access to the Chinese market for GE's aircraft engines division was probably a big incentive to make the deal. GE's CF-34 turbofan powers the ARJ-21. Commercial Aircraft Corporation of China was formed in March through the merger of Chinese aircraft manufacturers AVIC 1 and AVIC 2. The company claims 208 orders and options for the ARJ-21 and also plans to develop a larger 150-seat jet. Commercial launch services provider SpaceX introduced Dragon Lab yesterday. Dragon Lab is a free-flying, reusable spacecraft capable of hosting pressurized and unpressurized payloads to and from space. The craft is scheduled to make its first orbital flight aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 launch vehicle in June of next year. SpaceX says Dragon Lab provides a platform for in-space experimentation, including recovery of pressurized and some unpressurized payloads and deployment of small spacecraft. SpaceX will host an invitation-only Dragon Lab users workshop tomorrow, giving potential customers a chance to fully explore the system's capabilities. Product manager Max Vozov says customers will get a plant tour and their input will be sought. Quote, we will hear from potential users about their applications, requirements, and concerns, as well as discuss contracting mechanisms, unquote. As ANN reported, on September 28th, SpaceX celebrated the successful launch of its smaller Falcon 1 rocket into orbit on its fourth attempt. Up next on ANN, Boeing's workers are back, but its production is not. Light military helicopters are a great place to be. And a U.S. missile defense test has a mixed outcome. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 5th. I'm Paul Platt. The machinist strike is over at Boeing, but that doesn't mean airplanes are rolling smoothly off the line just yet. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports it may be 2 weeks before some assembly lines are up and running, while many of the machinists undergo required recertification and necessary preparations to restart production are made. Boeing had said early in the strike that it would issue revised guidance to investors and updated delivery predictions to customers after the strike ended. One industry analyst predicted Monday that the first flight of the 787 Dreamliner, which had been scheduled before the end of this year before the strike, could now be delayed until February or March, and first deliveries to customers pushed off to the second quarter of 2010. And that assumes the company doesn't suffer another strike by 21,000 members of the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace. Their contract ends December 1st, and Boeing says it will present its final offer to the union by November 11th. A strike by SPIA would not completely shut down jet production, but could disrupt deliveries and further delay the assembly of 787 development aircraft at Boeing's plant in Everett, Washington. Analysts think Boeing lost more than $2.6 billion in cash during the strike. The company says it will not raise output to make up for production lost during the 57 days the machinists were staying home. While aircraft manufacturers try to assess the depth of the recession, Forecast International says the market for light military rotorcraft will thrive over the next few years. In its new study, The Market for Light Military Rotorcraft, FI projects that annual production of military rotorcraft under 15,000 pounds will climb from 132 this year to 291 in 2014. The firm predicts a total market for 2,176 light rotorcraft produced for military use during the 10-year period from 2008 through 2017. That would be production worth a total of over $22 billion. FI sees the U.S. Army's Armed Reconnaissance Helicopter and Light Utility Helicopter programs resulting in delivery of hundreds of machines during the period. Now, the Army just pulled the plug on its contract with Bell for the Armed Reconnaissance Helicopter, but has indicated that it will be revised and rebid. Market share projections for light military helos have Eurocopter leading in units produced, Bell leading in dollar volume, with Augusta Westland and Hindustan Aeronautics Limited rounding out the top four. It's not clear whether Bell's loss of the ARH contract was reflected in that prediction. The U.S. Navy's test on Saturday of its Aegis ballistic missile defense system marked an attempt for the first time to see if a mixed fleet of warships from the U.S. and an ally could operate in unison to shoot down two incoming ballistic missiles at the same time. The results included good news and bad news. Ricky Ellison, chairman of the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance, said the test off the coast of Hawaii included the USS Paul Hamilton and USS Hopper and Japan's JS Chokai. Two target missiles were fired from the Pacific Range Missile Facility in Barking Sands, Kauai. Ellison reports, quote, the Aegis destroyers and their systems tracked and discriminated the two targets independent of other systems and fired the two separate defensive missiles from separate ships, unquote. Ellison adds that just as important as the intercepts themselves, the test demonstrated interoperability with the Japanese. The bad news, one of the SM-3 missiles destroyed its target, but the other had a failure of its heat-seeking mechanism, tentatively blamed on an age-related loss of coolant, without which the missile can't pick up the target's heat signature. Ellison says that in a real-world situation, multiple SM-3s could be fired at each incoming target. Quote, this test by the United States Navy validates an already successful system and demonstrates to countries like North Korea, Iran, and Syria that the United States and her allies will be protected and defended, unquote. Embraer released its first market outlook focused on the Chinese market at a press conference yesterday at Airshow China 2008. Embraer forecasts a total demand of 875 new regional aircraft over the next 20 years, consisting of 120 planes of 30 to 60 seats, 295 planes of 61 to 90 seats, and 460 planes of 91 to 120 seats. The forecast also predicts the air transportation industry will continue to push for greater fuel efficiency and give more attention to environmentally friendly equipment, driving further growth in China. The company notes its Embraer 190 presents a 27% lower fuel cost than a comparable 150-passenger Boeing or Airbus narrowbody. Embraer says if all Chinese flights carrying less than 100 passengers could be right-sized with 100-seat jets, an annual fuel savings of 180,000 tons could be expected, with a reduction of 565,000 tons of CO2 and 2.68 million tons of oxides of nitrogen. Guan Dongyan, president of Embraer China, promised, quote, Embraer is fully committed to such a market and is well prepared to provide it with outstanding products and services, unquote. Find the complete study on Embraer's website through an FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the crash of a Helios 737 will result in criminal charges. Steve Fawcett has been positively ID'd. And the new Branson Airport fills an important job. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 5th. I'm Paul Plank. Attorney General Petros Kliridis of the nation of Cyprus has announced that five people will face criminal charges related to an airliner crash that killed 121 people in 2005. The Helios Boeing 737 climbed to cruise altitude, was placed on autopilot, but then flew on for more than 2 hours, eventually crashing into a rural hillside outside Athens, Greece. When the airliner entered Greek airspace and failed to respond to calls, two Greek F-16s were scrambled to check it out. The military pilots reported the captain's seat was empty on the airliner, and a second person was wrestling with the controls. After a painstaking investigation, Greek officials reported the Helios pilots had failed to recognize early warnings of a drop in cabin pressure and had failed to switch pressurization from manual to automatic during pre-flight checks. They say the crew was eventually overcome by lack of oxygen. AFP News reports relatives of victims have already filed civil suits totaling $76 million U.S., targeting the Cypriot government for allowing the airline to continue operating after it should have had its license revoked for failing to meet safety standards. The plaintiffs have also gone after Boeing, saying the company's oxygen system has not been revised despite about 200 close calls in similar incidents in the past. As for the criminal charges, Kliridis announced, quote, we came to the conclusion that from the evidence collected, a criminal prosecution is justified against several people whom we consider are accountable for the plane crash, unquote. He said the indictments have not yet been drafted. Helios no longer exists. It changed its name to AJet Aviation, then ceased flight operations in late 2006. Authorities confirmed on Monday that DNA testing of two bones found last week near the wreckage of Steve Fawcett's plane have been positively identified as his remains. The Associated Press reports the California Department of Justice conducted the tests on the remains, which were found about a half mile from where the wreckage of the Belanca Decathlon was located on October 2nd. Authorities believe Fawcett was killed instantly by controlled flight into terrain, hitting the side of a Sierra peak near 10,000 feet above mean sea level. Madera County Sheriff John Anderson said in earlier reports the location of the bones indicated Fawcett's remains had been dragged from the accident site by animals. Peggy Fawcett expressed the hope the positive ID would end the conspiracy theories about Fawcett faking his own death. Quote, "This has been an incredibly difficult time for me, and I am thankful to everyone who helped bring closure to this tragedy." Unquote. The Branson Airport is set to open in May next year as the first privately financed and operated commercial service airport in the U.S. The airport has announced the hiring of Sharon Morris as the airport's FBO and airline services manager. She comes to Branson, Missouri after a 7-year stint as operations manager at Signature Flight Support in Boston, Massachusetts. At Branson, she'll be responsible for managing fueling services, airline ticketing, airline ground handling, aircraft and airline maintenance, and all hangar facilities. Airport Executive Director Jeff Bork welcomed Morris to the team. Quote, "Sharon's extensive aviation and airport experience and her passion for this industry make her a perfect fit for us," unquote. Managing airline services at Branson will be a big job. In an effort to retain the control necessary to ensure a good customer experience, airlines serving Branson will be required to subcontract their customer service to the airport, which will run centralized ticket counters and baggage operations. Airline operations will be integrated with those of other vendors, including rental car agencies, to make sure getting through the airport is quick and easy. Morris commented, quote, "This is such a great opportunity to be part of something new, which will enhance the travel experience of every customer who uses this remarkable facility," unquote. And finally, Detroit Metro Airport Police arrested a 22-year-old Dearborn Heights man who apparently thought his job cleaning airplanes presented a novel opportunity to impress a date. The Detroit Free Press reports the man boarded the Delta plane just after midnight using his badge from Prospect Airport Services, which provides cleaning, skycap, and wheelchair escort services. Airport spokesman Michael Conway said once the door was open, quote, "He swept himself in with his badge and he swept her in too. The problem is cameras watch everything," unquote. Metro police say the two are being charged with a misdemeanor security breach and also may face fines through the U.S. Transportation Security Administration. The TSA has reportedly satisfied the pair had no terrorist intent. Now, did the TSA really have to work hard at that conclusion? Can't we guess what the plan really was? Do they also investigate teenagers parking on scenic overlooks for terrorist intent? That's the latest from Aero News. Yeah, we'll straighten out this TSA mess now that Obama's in. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Space Exploration Technologies is back in the news, and today we'll peek inside the commercial spaceflight industry with Gwynne Shotwell, VP of Business Development at SpaceX. And if you haven't gotten around to it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.